And tonight, I've got something for you in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we'd like to look at that. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20, 21, and 22. You know, the Bible has profound truths, and the profound truths of the Bible are oftentimes very simple. So simple that you might overlook the profound truth that's there because of its simplicity. But that's one of the things that I love about the Bible. The profound truths are simple. God doesn't make His Word hard to understand for the soul of somebody who wants to understand. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22, the Lord says this, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." He gives you very simple instruction here. And the instruction that he gives us is going to involve your ear or your ears, your eyes, and your heart. And he says here that I want you to attend to my words. Do you see it? Attend to my words. That word attend, I think you understand what it is just by looking at it in its context. But I oftentimes find some benefit looking up a word that I think that I know the meaning to, make sure that I'm not assuming it to mean something that it doesn't mean, or missing out on something that it does mean because I've limited the meaning to my own understanding. He says here, attend. To attend is to apply the mind or pay attention to. Does it do you any good to read your Bible or to be here and not paying attention? I mean, that seems obvious, but how many times I've been in a service and looking around, you can see on the faces and countenance of people whether they're paying attention or whether they're not here. And oh, I've seen many times people physically present, eyes open, mind somewhere else, ears somewhere else, not attending. It's easy to sing a hymn like we sung today. There's power in the blood. You've sung that so many times. It's easy to sing that hymn and not pay attention to the words that are in it because you've just sung it so many times it's become overly familiar. And oftentimes when you're reading, if you read with some sort of a schedule, a Bible reading calendar or a certain number of passages or verses or pages each day, or perhaps like many of us do, the proverb of the day, among other things, it's easy to read back over that and just read with familiarity until God's trying to tell you something in the words you're reading, but you don't get what he's telling you. You understand? And the reason is that we are not paying attention to what's in front of us. And that's easy to do. When you decide that you're going to follow what Solomon said in verse 20 and attend to my words, then you have to take away the other distractions, that list of things rummaging around in your head about what you have coming, or perhaps that thing that's going on in your life that is causing you anxiety, some sort of pressure, some sort of stressor, a car that's not working, a surgery that you have, or some treatment that you're facing, or a test that's coming, or some duty and responsibility. It's easy to be distracted. So God is trying to speak to you when you open this book, or when you're here tonight. He has something he wants to say, and he wants you to get it, but you have to attend to his words. I'm reminded when I think about attending to my words. When I was in high school, in a boarding school, we had a Bible class that was right after lunch in a classroom that didn't have air conditioning. And there were certain days in the spring where it got as warm then as it did today. We had this big old guy named Bill Kalmus. And he sat on the back row in the Bible class, and that Bible teacher was a great man, very concerned for the souls of the students, and he was a great prayer warrior, but he wasn't much of a Bible teacher. It was easy to not pay attention when he was teaching. So right after lunch on that hot day, Bill opened the window in the back of the classroom, kind of leaned out like that, and I mean, he just fell asleep. And I learned something about the teacher that day. His name was Rocky. That classroom, probably where the back row was from where he was teaching, was probably from about here to Doyle or here to Milton. And we were using black chalkboards with white chalk in those days. He was up there writing something on the board, and he turned around and saw Bill sound asleep, not paying attention. And you know those old erasers? They used to get all that chalk dust in them. Rocky reared back, and I kid you not, he hit Bill Kalmus square in the chest with that eraser on the chalk side, and I mean imprinted his shirt with the puff of that chalk and the lines in that eraser, and it fell to the ground like that. Of course, Kalmus woke up. Rocky said, "You stay awake and bring me that eraser." Well, Kalmus got up, and from about Donnie to me, he just pitched it to Rocky. Rocky caught that thing in midair and wham, it came back and boom, right upside the hip and big chalk right on the side of his face. And I'm telling you, that's the last time that Bill ever fell asleep in class. I don't know if he ever paid attention, but I guarantee you he didn't fall asleep. I remember one time I was teaching some Sunday night class, like we're doing tonight, you know, not class, but a service. And one of the guys always came back on Sunday afternoon. I don't know what he'd done during the day, but he hadn't taken his nap. And he'd sit from about to me to Brother Hoffmeister, and he'd fall sound asleep as soon as I started preaching. And, you know, that aggravated me because I didn't want to think I was that boring. And I got one of those big water guns. I mean, one of those, you know, I'm talking about like a syringe full of water, big syringe. And I had it there, and I was ready for him. And sure enough, he went down, and I said to all the people, you know, there's one way to keep people awake during the service. Well, of course, he wasn't tuned in, right? But, buddy, I'll tell you, in about 10 seconds, he was absolutely tuned in. He wasn't very happy either. I soaked him like that. And I said, you don't fall asleep in church. All right, well, honestly, you don't have to fall asleep to not pay attention, but God has something that he wants you to hear. There's no reason to be here in the service if you're not going to get it. So he said, attend to my words. Apply your mind. Pay attention to these things. And notice what he says. He says, attend to my words. You really have to be careful here because he said, I want you to attend to my words, not words about what I wrote. Not somebody saying something about what I wrote, but what I wrote. When we're preaching, if we're doing our job well, we're expounding the scripture, but the point is for you to be able to understand what he wrote, not so much what we said about what he wrote. So you have to be careful with that. That's why I warned you, be careful with commentators and commentaries. More stuff that is written about the Bible is wrong than it is right. You have to be careful with that. You want to know not only attending to what he wrote, but you want to attend to exactly what he wrote. Very important. I'll give you a couple of examples. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, I don't know why this is happening to me. The Bible says God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that? The Bible doesn't say that. God routinely gives you more than you can handle. That thorn in the flesh was more than Paul could handle. And God said, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient for thee. What they're quoting or misquoting is 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is an excellent passage of Scripture, but it doesn't say that God will never give you more than you can handle. And so you wouldn't be in distress if you understood what 1 Corinthians 10:13 said rather than what you thought it said because somebody had misquoted it. Do you understand? It's very important. In James, when people are praying a prayer of faith for the healing of somebody, he says, confess your faults. Confess your faults one to another. He didn't say confess your sins one to another. And when, what's that guy at Saddleback Church out there in California, Rick Warren, adapted that to the way the modern Bibles do and said, confess your sins one to another. They started public confession of sins in the congregations and destroyed churches. It didn't say that. It said, confess your faults. It said, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one. He didn't say if he was overtaken in a sin. He said, there's a big difference between those words, and you want to distinguish what those differences are so you don't get tripped up by believing something that God didn't say or following something that he didn't say. You want to follow what he did say. Very important. Very important. The question then is, if I'm to attend to his words, how am I to do that? Well, he gives you three very simple things. Number one, you've got to hear them. What does he say in verse 20? Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I hate to admit, I'm not wearing hearing aids, and to my knowledge, I don't need them. I hear more things than I want to hear still. But you'll notice that if you and I are talking and there are distractions around, or you're talking in a lower voice, you're going to see me turn my head just a little bit. I won't be looking at your eyes, I'll be looking at your lips, and I'll be listening more with my left ear than I will with my right. You say, why is that? Age, baby. That's right. Well, you know why I'm doing that? I want to know what you're saying. I'm inclining my ear to your words. You're saying something that you want me to hear, then I don't want to miss that. Well, now after I've heard it, I may wish I hadn't, but in truth, you're trying to communicate something, and I have to incline my ear to your saying. You've got to hear those words. Now, we referred to marriage this morning, and it's common to people living under the same roof to miss a lot of what's said. Called selective hearing. I read something one time, it said most of marriage, 90% of marriage is two people hollering, what, from the other room? If Ann wants to tell me something, I can't be doing anything else. I'm one of those guys. I'm not a multitasker, okay? Likewise, when you are in this book, you don't want to try to be a multitasker. I know a lot of people that say, yes, sir, I do my Bible reading in the car. I am listening to Scorby while I'm driving. Let me know when you are and where you are, and I'll go somewhere else. Because either you're going to pay attention to that driving, or you're going to pay attention to God's Word. But trying to do both of those well, not a very easy thing to do. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to the Word of God while you're driving, but that's not attending fully, right, to the words of God. If you want to hear God speaking to you in the words of God, then the other things need to be set aside so you can hear. Do you understand? When you open this book and you're reading, and I'm not talking about just a Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible that I have on the pulpit and the one that you have in your lap. When you open this, the voice of the Lord is in the words when you're reading. He'll speak to you. Keep your finger where you are and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." The words of the Lord have a voice. They will speak to you when you're reading. And he told Saul, "Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Now, those of you who are familiar with your Bible, and you've read 1 Samuel chapter 15, did Saul hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord in this passage? Yes or no? No, he didn't. He said he did. When Samuel came up to him, he said, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He said that in verse 20. "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He didn't. The voice of the Lord said, "Kill everything and kill everybody." They didn't kill everything. They kept the best of the animals. They didn't kill everybody. Agag survived. Right? That was a terrible mistake. That caused, already Saul had lost the kingdom, but this was his ultimate downfall, and not long after this, Saul and three of his sons were killed in a battle with the Philistines. Didn't pay attention. Now, children commonly don't pay attention. You say something to them, they get part of what you say, or they get the part of what you say that they want to hear, and they don't get the part of what you say that they don't want to hear. God doesn't want us to be children when it comes to these words. He wants us to be grown. He wants us to listen and pay attention to everything he's saying. He's talking to you, and he wants you to hear. Now, give me a head nod if you've read your Bible at some point, and while you were reading, it was as if God himself opened his mouth and said to you, that right there, get that. And I'm looking around for those who can't see each other or maybe hearing the recording of this message. There are people nodding all over this building. God speaks in this book. He doesn't speak in all books. I'm remembering, Milton, one time we were out, you know, passing out those New Testaments and then doing follow-ups wherever we either had a good visit or came to a door where somebody didn't answer and we wanted to give them a second chance at getting a New Testament. Went back to a follow-up visit at one of the houses, and the lady came to the door, and she was holding the New Testament that we'd just given her 2 weeks before. Or a week before, and she said, "I am so thankful that you gave me this New Testament, this particular one, the King James Bible." And I said, "Really? Well, I'm delighted to hear that. Why are you so thankful that we gave you this one?" She goes, this is the one that's easy to understand. This is the one that has God's voice in it." That's what she said. Isn't that amazing? She said, "I can't understand those other ones, but I can understand this one." That's not what you commonly hear about the King James Bible. But you know what? God was speaking to that woman. The Holy Spirit was giving those words to her by inspiration. And she was understanding what God wanted her to hear in that book. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. You want to incline your ear unto my sayings, the voice of the Lord in the words when you're reading, but also what God is saying to you through his words while they're being taught and preached. I'm up here preaching and giving you something that the Lord has directed me to for tonight's message, this little passage right here. And I've got some notes up here. You can see them. And I'm following kind of the way that it's laid out for you tonight. The interesting thing is, if we were to talk, all of us, after the service tonight, and I were to say to you, "Luis, what did you get out of the sermon tonight?" And he told you. And then I said, "Robert, and what did you get out of the sermon tonight?" And you're not making it up. You're not just trying to, "Oh my God, he's going to ask me. I got to come up with something." But you're really, God spoke to you in the preaching. What he spoke to you about and what he spoke to you about wouldn't be the same thing. When Brother Hoffmeister prayed for us tonight, he even mentioned that God would apply the words that we're speaking tonight to each heart, to each soul individually. And on I could go and ask each of you, what did you get out of that tonight? You'd get something if you came here to get something from God. And all I can say is the Holy Spirit is using what I'm saying now in a very sublime way to speak to you personally about something that's in this book he wants you to hear. That is a remarkable God, and that is a remarkable book. If you don't come here to get something out of the preaching, you'll leave here without anything from the preaching. You got what you came for. If you came here to get something from the preaching, it wouldn't make any difference who's up here, even if the person up here is brand new at preaching. If he opened this book and started to give you something that God had given him he wanted you to have, you'd get it. But you gotta listen to that. I'll mention to you again something I heard a long time ago, but it's worth repeating at this point. Damon Woods, who has long since gone to be with the Lord, was a very successful missionary in the Philippines, used to go to preachers' conferences. And at some of those fundamental conferences that he used to attend, they'd make all the guest preachers sit up on the front row. Now all those guys would be up there, and then they'd call different men that were there to come up and preach. And he said, invariably, when the young, inexperienced preachers would get up there to preach, and all of us old guys are sitting there on the front row, he'd open the Bible to a text that we might have preached two or three different times. He'd say, open your Bible to, and it'd be a familiar passage. And you know what Damon said? I would look to the left and the right at those old preachers. They wouldn't open their Bibles. He said, I'd open my Bible, and I'd bow my head and I'd say, God, please give me something from your word through this preacher tonight. And he said, invariably, God would speak to me out of the preaching. Even though I knew more Bible and had preached many more years than the man in the pulpit, God used the preaching to speak to me. Oh, that's good. You got to hear them when you're reading them, and you've got to hear them when they're being preached and taught, and then you've got to hear them when they're speaking to you as you go about your day. In other words, not when you're under the preaching and teaching, not when you're in the book, but while you're out there, those things you've read still want to talk to you about your life, about the way you're going. Let me just give you a passage of Scripture here, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Just a verse of Scripture here. Not so concerned about the context, because what I'm showing you from this passage is like how God speaks to you with His words after you've read them and after you've heard preaching and teaching. Isaiah chapter 30. Look at verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You say, here's a man walking, and as he's walking, there's a word behind him that's speaking, verse 21, and his ears, that's what we're talking about, you got to hear them, shall hear the word. Have you ever been out and about and something you've read or something you heard preached speaks to you? That's a wonderful thing. You want to keep your ears open. Sometimes what happens in life is that we compartmentalize our day. All right, I do my devotions in the morning. Then I go to the office during the first part of the day, might have lunch here and exercise here and do a chore here. And you know how it is, compartmentalize your day. If you compartmentalize your day where you open the Bible and have your devotion and close your Bible and don't return to it again until the next day, you're going to miss out on a lot about what this Bible can say to you while you are doing the rest of your day. You don't want to do that. Doing all right? Doing okay? Okay. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and he says this. If you're going to attend to God's words, number one, you've got to hear them. And that's what you're doing tonight. Number two, you have to see them. You have to see them. Again, we'll look at Proverbs chapter 4, this time in verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. In other words, when you're reading, you want to be seeing the words that are in front of you. Not only your ear to be listening for the voice of the Lord in the words, but you want your eye to be undistractedly concentrating on literally every word that's going into your eye. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You're reading. Now, this is interesting. Today, it is not uncommon for Christians to read on a tablet, on a phone, or on a computer. That's a very common way for people to read the Bible. But it's interesting when you look inside of this book, God keeps referring to the book of the Lord. Jesus took the book and opened it in Luke chapter 4 and read from Isaiah 61 as an example. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was in his chariot, and he was going back down to Ethiopia, and he was reading. He had the papers in front of him. I don't know what it is, but I know that it is. God's words have been recorded for you in a book that has pages. And I remember when I was in Bible college, we had a preacher that came, and computers were pretty new, and Bible on computers were pretty new, and man, he was excited about that, and he said, I'd get up in the morning, and I'd turn on my computer, and I get my cup of coffee, and I'm listening to the words as they're being spoken on a recording, and I'm reading them on my computer, and he said, wow, what a great way to study and read the Bible in the morning. And he said, after 90 days, 3 months of reading the Bible that way, you know what I realized? I hadn't gotten one thing from the Lord out of my Bible reading in those 90 days where God used to just give me all kinds of insight and things to preach and interesting understanding in the words. He said, I seem to have been cut off from that. Now, I don't know what that is, but I've never forgotten it. Many of us will use a computer as a concordance. That's a very helpful thing. You get a lot of information right there, and you can search it and all that. But I believe this Bible reading is something that takes place in a book with your eyes on the page, absorbing the words that have been printed there on the page for you. I believe God did it that way, and He communicates to us out of this book that way. I'll tell you one super advantage of reading in the same Bible every day. If you are looking for a verse of Scripture because something has come back to your mind and you want to see it again to make sure you know every word that's in it, you can remember if it was on the left page or the right page, whether it was upper or lower, and whether it was in the right column or the left column. You can do that. And you'll go right to that and say, I know it's right here somewhere. Let's see. It's there. There it is right there. That is a great help. You can't do that with a tablet. Then you do that with the Bible. This Bible that I'm preaching from up here tonight is the one that I've typically used to preach radio messages. It sits in the office there, open. I use it like I am tonight to preach here in the pulpit. I did again this morning. This is the exact same Bible as the one that I read at home. And then I've got another one sitting on the desk that's open as well. And that way, if somebody comes and they've never seen the Bible before, I can take my Bible and I can give them this Bible and I can give them the other one on the desk and I can say, turn to page 232. Because they may not have any idea where it is, but I know where it is and I can get them there more quickly and we can study together. Do you know what that is? That's a benefit. Aren't you glad that one day a person put chapters and verses to everything that's in this book? God did that. God used a man to do that. He wants you to see them. There's something about the Word of God going in your eye, the way God designed your eye. Those words have an effect on you in a very special way and on your spirit when they come into you through your eyes. This way, not electronically. But not only does He want you to see them when you turn to the page. A lot of times when we're preaching, like I've done already tonight, I'll say, go to Isaiah 30, verse 21, and look at it with me. You go to that passage and you read it together. You're hearing me read it. You're looking at it for yourself. You're a lot more likely to remember it and remember where to find it if you want to bring it back to recall. But, not only does He want you to see them when you're reading them or when you turn to them as you're having a study like we've been doing tonight, but He wants you to see them by observation. In other words, when you're out and about in the world, He wants what you've seen to affect what you see. Let me say it again. He wants what you've seen to affect what you see. It gives you observation and wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. Well, when you've seen the words and then you see them on display around you, you get a great understanding. The words enlighten you and the words shed light on what you see. You know, people are enamored with the flesh. You notice that? I mean, now some of us are not. We've gotten old enough where we are disgusted with the flesh. But I work out twice a week with a trainer. And the other day, there was a particular piece of equipment that he wanted me to use. And it is in a new location. And there, of course, you know, it's a gym, so there's a lot of mirrors around there, right? And there was a girl there working out that was next to the piece of equipment. And so he simply asked her for permission because he wanted to make sure she wasn't using that piece of equipment, right? And she wasn't. She kind of wedged herself in between two pieces of equipment. And when we walked up, she's taking an eyeful of herself, okay? And then she moves over and we do the workout and la da 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 da. And eventually I get home and I was thinking about all that. And here's what tickled me. You know what she was looking at? No. That's a rhetorical question. Don't get specific here. You know what she was looking at? She was looking at dirt. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. She was looking at dirt. That's what she was looking at. Dirt fashioned a certain way and trying to improve the fashion of that dirt. But it's dirt. It's all it is. You look at yourself in the mirror and you kind of give you one of those little, let's see how that bicep's doing. I've been working out a bit. You know what you're looking at? Dirt. Fashioned a certain way. Now that helped you tonight. That helped you tonight. I know some old, you know, the kids here, you know, and anyway, I don't want to go down that road. You can only make dirt look so good. You got it? If you recognize that it's dirt and you recognize it's going back to dirt, you might one day become more concerned about your spirit and your soul than you are your flesh and your body. Amen. Believe me, I have not given that bicep one pump in front of a mirror since I've been going there. Yeah, that would be a worthless effort. This is a maintenance program. One of the trainers is here with us tonight, Mitchell, and I'm glad that he's here. And he understands. I've already talked to him about that. This is a maintenance program, man. We are just trying to keep this vessel, which is the tip of the Holy Ghost, going strong enough as long as the Holy Ghost wants to use it, right, Brother Hoffmeister, until he says, you finish your course, you're gone. Back to the dirt, boy. Okay? You got to hear them and you've got to see them. Okay? One more thing he gives us in Proverbs chapter 4. You have to hear them. Listen now. Listen to his words. You've got to see them, look at them, see what they say. And then you've got to remember them. Remember them. Look again in verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. The only way that you can keep these words in the midst of your heart is that you've got to memorize them. You've got to hide them in your heart. You've got to remember them. He wants you to. Thy word have I hid where? In mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The mind is not reliable. You're going to have a hard time storing things in a faulty computer. Yeah, this hard head has hard disk problems from time to time. But the heart, no, it you can keep it there. How do you know that? Well, I have been to the nursing home for years and years ministering. Brother Tony's going now. And sometimes you walk in there and you've been there 2 weeks earlier and they don't even remember who you are. Now, who are you? Well, I'm Bevan's welder. Oh, it's nice to meet you. And where are you? Bible Believers Baptist Church. We had this conversation 2 weeks ago. And I'll say, anybody here quote John 3:16? And boy, there it is. And verses from hymns, all of it memorized. Where is it? Down here in the heart. Mind is faulty, not the heart. Not the heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 18. Verse 17 for the context. Proverbs 22, 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. In other words, once they're down in there, they come out of your mouth the same way you put them down in there, word for word. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? Watch it, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Oh, how beautiful it is to be in a conversation with somebody where the conversation turns to the Lord and out of this well of life springs up the words that you've memorized that answer the very question that they have raised concerning their soul, concerning something in the world. You're able to speak as the oracles of God. You can't do that without memory. You can't do that without remembering these words. You say, I have a hard time memorizing. I think most people do. Not children. Children, oh, they fascinate me. That mind is a sponge. Don't let your children spend all their time in front of a television and in front of computer games and all that to keep themselves entertained while you do the chores of life. You sit down with them and you work with them to help them memorize Scripture because they can get it and they can keep it. You say, well, what about us when our hair starts turning gray? How are we going to do it? Lots of work, baby. Lot of work. One of the things I heard a man say who was still memorizing Scripture in his 70s, even in his early 80s, he said this. I write it down, so it's my handwriting. I put the verse on one side of the card, and then I put the words on the other side of the card, and I quote the verse, number, chapter, and so forth, and then on the back side, I go over it 25 times the first day, 20 times the second day, 15 times the third day, 10 times the fourth day, 5 times the fifth day. And he said, by the end of the fifth day, I've got it. That's a lot of work. That man had thousands of verses of scriptures memorized. Every once in a while, they'd ask him to preach. I asked him to preach here one time. And I told him, I said, now look, I just want you to give a testimony. God has given you such a rich life. Don't stress. Oh, he'd stress over trying to make an outline. Because he'd been around preachers all of his life and he wanted to be able to preach like preachers and he wasn't a preacher. I said, don't stress over trying to come up with an outline. Don't stress over trying to make points. Just get up there and give us something from the Word of God. Well, he got up there and oh, he was so nervous. And there are other things that began to happen that just indicated how nervous he was, but he'd had his little outline, and I appreciated him trying. I didn't want him to go that direction. I appreciated him trying, and he'd say, to illustrate, and he'd quote a verse of Scripture. And then he'd say something, he'd say, well, to illustrate, and he'd quote another verse of Scripture. His illustrations were quoted Scripture, and they were coming out like rapid fire. He wasn't trying to show off that he'd memorized so much Scripture. It's just that's the only way he knew how to put it into words. And I thought to myself, that in itself was the sermon. That was the example of what it should be. And he was over 75 years old when he did that. All those scriptures, not from the page, from memory, as he tried to illustrate the point he was making. Amazing thing. It's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Wouldn't you love to have it memorized so that if somebody asks you a question, boom, you could quote the chapter, you could quote the verse, you could quote the book, you can give them the exact words that God said. It's an amazing thing. I've seen it happen so many times, and you probably have too. When you quote that book exactly the way that God wrote it in answer to a question somebody raises, you can see the light come on and the reaction that they have just heard from God. That is testimony that you are dealing with God's words. Now you might ask yourself the question, why do I want to do this? Why would I attend to God's words? The answer is in verse 22. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. When you have good health, you take it for granted when you're young. Right? When you have good health, you're resilient. You can stay up too late, and you can eat junk food and get away with it, and it doesn't bother you, but you get a bit older where you start feeling the effects of what you've been doing to your body. Or if you lose your health, or if you didn't draw that good card and you have health problems, you have a lot more appreciation for your health. And I'm going to tell you, when you start thinking about all those things you can do to improve your health, better nutrition, better management of your stress, better exercise, better supplements, better mental state, do not neglect the words of God. They are life unto those that find them, and health to what? All their flesh. The balance of having these words of God in your heart, in your ear, and in your eye, along with proper treatment of your body, is going to pay you huge dividends in your life. Now, I'm going to say something to you similar to what a doctor told me more than 30 years ago. More than 30 years ago, my health was not good as the result of Giardia and hypoglycemia, and I was eating lots of sugar, trying to keep the sugar up, not realizing it was driving the sugar down, didn't know how it worked. And I went to that doctor, and he told me a few things, and he said this, I'm going to give you something simple to do, because if I make it hard, you won't do it. And one of the things he said is, I just want you to take these few vitamins. Well, I took them this morning, still taking them 30-something years later. What am I saying? He said this, listen very carefully. You are not going to notice any immediate effect from taking good care of your health today, like with these vitamins. But when you're older, what you have done is going to pay you huge dividends, and you're going to notice the effect then. And I do. I do today. But I had to trust that the advice he was giving me was going to have its long-term payout, and it does. I'm telling you, the advice you've heard from the Scripture tonight has a long-term payout. You may not notice an immediate effect, but you will notice a long-term effect if you hear these words, if you see these words, and if you remember these words. They will affect your life and they will affect your health, and you will never regret following what God told you to do. There's a huge, huge payoff in your life. You do what God said. You'd be very happy you did. Father, thank you tonight for instructing us out of the words of God. Fabulous passage of Scripture. So simple. So simple. Hear them, see them, remember them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight you will help us to be very faithful stewards of what we heard. And not only stewards, that we leave here, we start living by the things we've heard tonight, if we haven't already. And if we have, to be encouraged to keep doing what we've been doing. It's the right thing to do. But we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.